Hello and welcome to Witchy Woman Podcast. I am your host, Danae Sweet, and this is episode 32. Today, I thought we would talk about the different types of witches. Now, I'm not going to touch on every one of them because, honestly, there's a shitload. But I'm going to try to touch on the ones that you're going to hear the most about and so that you can get an overall general idea of the different types. And I want to say something first about labels. I hate them. I hate them and I love them. I don't like to be boxed into one thing. So even though I consider myself, by definition, I'm an eclectic witch, but I hate being labeled that. So just because you do or don't fall into one of these specific categories doesn't mean you have to be called that kind of witch. You can just call yourself a witch. There is nothing wrong with not claiming a label. Okay, so this is purely for educational purposes, for reference, so that if some of you out there are still searching for a path, maybe one of these would resonate and you can go research it. Or if it doesn't resonate, you can check that off of your box or your check that off of your list of different paths to try or to research. So anyway, I am coming at you so tired. I'm on the tail end of a lupus flare-up, so I'm sore, I'm sleepy. My horse has been sick the last 2 days. If some of you follow me on social media in our group, I kind of had a shout-out and a prayer or good juju request for my horse. I went out to ride him and he was pretty sore and something was wrong, I could tell, and took him to the vet, and long story short, he has a fever and some parasites and some other things. So he's being treated and watched, and I visit him multiple times a day and he seems better today, but we are keeping him there for further monitoring and some blood work tomorrow morning to see if it's more in the normal ranges so he can go home. He misses his buddies and his buddies miss him. He can see them. I live in a very small village with railroad down the middle of it. And on one side of the tracks is the veterinary facility, and his pen is right there overlooking the railroad tracks. Now, about a quarter mile or less, maybe, across the railroad tracks is my pasture where all of his buddies are. And he was doing great until one of his buddies realized he was over there and freaked out and started screaming. So now he's a little agitated this morning because his friends are calling to him, and normally he's pretty chill, but he's constantly having one of my horses, Loki, aptly made. He is mischief personified into a horse. He's been screaming and causing a ruckus, so now my sick horse, Finn, is kind of irritated. So trying to keep him calm and trying to keep positive that he will get better soon. I think first I should talk about what witchcraft is versus Wicca, because I'm going to mention Wicca a lot in this. Witchcraft is the path of, it's your spiritual practice. It's your practice using spells and rituals. It's your personal path. Wicca is a specific, structured, organizational path. So Wicca has rules, they have structure, they have initiation processes, that sort of thing. I am not a Wiccan, which a lot of muggles just assume because I claim the word witch that I am Wiccan. No, I am not. I'm not saying anything bad about it. I don't look down on them. It just does not resonate with me. It resonates with plenty of other people. And maybe down the road, I'm going to want that structure. It would not surprise me if someday I did. Anyway, Wicca is a religious spiritual path. Witchcraft is also a spiritual path. It's my practice. It's my spiritual practice. I hope that makes sense. If somebody wants to define it better, please put it in the comments to the show when I post the show on Facebook. Comment your definition of Wicca versus witchcraft. So maybe my definition kind of sucks, so if somebody else could elaborate, because my brain is not functioning at top speed today. Maybe you could help me out. Thanks. So you'll have to excuse the sipping sounds that I may or may not be able to edit out because I'm sucking down coffee still. I'm so freaking tired. Today is also my husband and I's 3-year anniversary. We've been together for 6 years, but we've been married for 3. So we're not doing anything special as far as, you know, celebrating too much today because he had to work and do things on the ranch and I've got a sick horse. So we plan on maybe doing something this weekend, going up to the Black Hills, having some alone time, getting into nature a little bit. We both find that place super, super special. It's where we took our honeymoon. We actually drove up there and stayed in like a camping area where you could like pull your camper in, and we actually took my horse trailer because it had a camper inside of it. I don't have that one anymore, unfortunately, but that's how we spent our honeymoon, is camping inside a horse trailer. So, yep, I'm super fancy. So anyway, excuse my bumbles or stumbling over words today. I'm going to do my best. I'm usually, you know, I stumble over my words anyway because I get to talking too fast. So I will try to be mindful of my pronunciations and enunciations and keep this as intelligent sounding as I possibly can because I'm so tired. I didn't sleep much last night. The cats were crazy. It was hotter than hell. I was having heat flashes. I don't want sympathy. I'm just bitching. So anyway, why don't I take a sip of coffee and we can get into what certain type of witches are, and if that resonates with you, that would be great. If something on this list, if you're a baby witch and kind of looking for a path, and maybe one of these things kind of piques your interest, follow that interest, okay? All right, so let's talk about the first one, traditional witches or traditional witchcraft. This is a path that's big on the history of witchcraft before Wicca was a path. So they talk about the old ways and the old path. They're very, very historical in their approach to their practice. They do a lot of ancestor worship, and that aspect of their practice is very important. And they very well could be a couple different ones. There's Gardnerian, there is Alexandrian, I think Dianic might fall on this, but anyway, this is a generalized term to describe paths that are very traditional, that have structure and go back to the old ways. The next one I want to talk about is Gardnerian witch. So this is Gardnerian witchcraft, or Wicca. This was a practice that started around the 1950s by a guy named Gerald Gardner, or the father of Wicca is kind of the term that you're going to see sometimes about him. He created or fashioned a tradition that has big ties to nature, is very ritual centered, and you have to be initiated. So there's absolutely no self-initiation in this path from what I could find. It's very, very structured. It has a hierarchy and you kind of like level up. So you start on the bottom as far as your rank or how you are seen in the organization, and you can work your way up as your education in the craft progresses. They're very, very traditional, very, very structured. When I was reading about this one, I understood some of it, but I was reading some of it. And for me, I know not everyone goes to or is drawn to witchcraft or this sort of thing because of feminism, but I am. So when I read the father of Wicca, I just kind of went, like it made me cringe just a tiny bit. I have nothing against male witches, but damn it, the patriarchy like runs everything else. Can we just have one thing, right? Okay, the next one I want to talk about is Alexandrian witch or witchcraft. This one started around the 1960s by Alex and Maxine Sanders. So when I heard Sanders, you know, the Sanderson sisters, I thought maybe when they made the movie Hocus Pocus, maybe they reached back and saw that, you know, Alexandrian witchcraft or Wicca was created by somebody with the last name of Sanders. And then like, it's not a big leap to go Sanderson. So I know that's a big leap, but I love that freaking movie and it was on my mind and I just had to share that I felt that there was a link. I have no idea if there's an actual link or not. I just was thinking about it. I should probably research shit before I spout off untrue things on a podcast, but oh well. This is basically the British version of Wicca and witchcraft, to put it like in the most generalized description. It's very similar to Gardnerian, good God. And it pulls from ceremonial magic and the Kabbalah quite a bit. A bit more eclectic and a lot less structured than Gardnerian. And they have kind of a motto, if it works, then use it, which I love that. that's kind of their motto. You must be initiated also into this one. There are levels and degrees of each person when you go in, just kind of like the other one. Covens meet at the new and full moons and also on Sabbats. So it's very, very similar, just different, which you're going to find that's kind of the witchcraft way. Everything is just a little different with some similarities. There's one called Corellian. I'm probably saying that wrong, but Corellian witch or witchcraft. Corellian Wicca started in the late 20th century by Caroline High Correll. And she was claiming that she's a hereditary witch and that she uses, when she created this path, she used a lot of her hereditary lineage and knowledge when she created this. She was also a psychic, a spiritual healer, and an herbalist, which is kind of cool. She was also heavily influenced by Iranian witchcraft. This path wasn't actually officially recognized as Wicca until like the 1990s. Until then, it was more seen as like an eclectic universalism type path. But until like the 1990s, that's what it really wasn't a thing until then, I guess. And I guess I suppose I should talk about Iranian witchcraft because I just referenced it. But Aradia was called The Gospel of the Witches, and it's a book that was written by Charles Godfrey Leland, I think around 1899. And what it is believed to be is the religious text of a group of witches in Tuscany. So it's Italian witchcraft is what she is heavily influenced by, because that was her hereditary lineage is what she was claiming. The next one I have is the Sea Witch. I love this one because it just reminds me of the Little Mermaid. I know that simplifies it way too much, but anyway. The Sea Witch has strong ties to the ocean and water, mostly uses the water element in their practice. And so for rituals and spells, they love to use seashells and sand, driftwood, anything that you're going to find near or in the sea. They have a very, very strong connection to it and often are pulled to areas that have large bodies of water. A kitchen witch is my next one. I know that we're kind of hauling ass through these, but I wanted to give you a basic overall, like a generalized description of these so that I didn't get too into it. You could just see what you liked the most and then you can go dive into it yourself. So a kitchen witch, which is kind of, I think at one time I kind of dove into this and then I kind of suck at cooking, so I just decided it wasn't for me. But anyway, a kitchen witch is also sometimes referred to as a hearth witch. And they create magic in the kitchen, and home is their sacred space. You walk into their kitchen, and there are herbs drying and, you know, all kinds of beautiful things cooking. They actually use herbs, oils, food, and just everyday things to create spells, ritual, and magic. So it's like you walk in, and there's just magic brewing. You can feel it when you walk into a kitchen witch's house. It's absolutely amazing feeling to walk into this type of witch's home. It's very special. A hedge witch is the next one. And I will tell you, I thought I knew what a hedge witch was. Like, when I thought hedge witch, I was thinking more towards green witch. And I guess my bad for assuming. I looked up hedge witch. A hedge witch comes from hedge jumping, or going out of this world and to another world or the other world. They astral travel. They communicate with spirits, the spirit world and spirits. They have the ability to cross the hedge, aka the boundary between this world and the spirit world. So I was like kind of researching this particular one, and I resonated with it because I do communicate with the spirit world quite often. So I think part of my practice definitely has an aspect of the hedge witch. I've only astral traveled purposefully one time. and it required a shitload of meditating. And I just have not been that disciplined again, or really wanted to do it again. But it's definitely something that was super cool experience. And I'll probably, if I never do it again, I will remember that instance for the rest of my life. So the next one is that you're going to hear a lot about is Dianic witchcraft. This is a very feminist-based path. They are all about, you know, furthering the feminist causes. They tend to rally together to help any kind of feminist issues. This is the very first path that I was drawn to, actually, as a teenager. I was looking at this in a Barnes & Noble bookshop. I don't remember what book it was, but they were talking about Dianic, the Dianic path. And, you know, I was, you know, wanted to be this rebel, and I was very feminist minded back then, as, you know, I still am. But, you know, back then I think I just wore it as a badge. But that's why this one in particular really, really resonated with me at the time. You know, there was no men, it was only women, and I was lacking that feeling of being supported by women, and I was really, really drawn to it. So I did do a lot of research and reading about that when I was young. It's how I structured some of my practice now, is based on some Dianic information that I had found through books. Back then, we did not have the internets like we do now. I mean, some people did. We had one of those giant computers with the green screen, and we could play Oregon Trail. So that's as like researchy as my computer experience was in my early years. Yep, that dated me. This particular tradition has the idea of the triple goddess, and it is very, very prevalent. They honor the mother, the maiden, and the crone. It's their way of honoring the cycles of human and life and the earth. The next one is the Green Witch, aka Garden or Forest Witch. This one I hear about a ton now. I think it's becoming a lot more popular in books. I'm seeing a lot more books pop up about this particular subject. I definitely resonate with this path. It is definitely part of my path. They're very connected to the earth. They have gardens or love to grow plants in their houses. They use herbs and oils, and a lot of time they do a lot of DIY body care and self-care stuff. They love nature and feel most at home outside in nature. And the purpose of their path, or a lot of their direction of their path, is to honor the earth and the earth's cycles. I definitely resonate with that one. I do a ton of, I work with herbs and oils a lot. That's predominantly what I work with. I love, love, love nature. I'm most happy when I'm outside in it. So anyway, enough about that one. I want to touch on what a hereditary witch actually is next. So this is somebody that's actually born into witchcraft as a part of their family lineage. So you're born into it, and you have a choice whether you want to actually follow the witchcraft path or not. I'm sure there are some families that are just like any other religious family, and they're like, damn it, you're a witch, and you're going to be a witch, you know, like the rest of us. I'm sure, because of human nature, there are plenty of those types of families, but traditionally, they're given the choice to choose it or not. So when I was doing the research for my family, I came across some information about my paternal line. We go all the way back to Bavaria, and like the earliest I could find was the late 1400s. I found a picture of one of my relatives. But anyway, Anyway, I was doing a lot of research about my family, and I found that that particular family fled Bavaria and dropped their part of their name to change it around the same time that the Inquisitors were coming into the Germany area, that area to get rid of, we'll just use a different word. We're going to get rid of the heretics, meaning anybody who doesn't follow the traditional Christian church type path. So if you were a midwife, if you used natural healing, if any of those things pointed to something they weren't comfortable with, then you were a witch. So it could possibly, the timing of it is perfect. So I can only assume, because the records back then sucked, that particular family probably was some kind of natural healer or midwife in the family, and they knew that they were going to get targeted, so they fled. And it was interesting because we had the surname Vaughn before it was Vaughn Eberspacher, actually, if you want to say it correctly. But anyway, we dropped the Vaughn and fled Bavaria, so that we weren't, that Vaughn, I guess, signified some kind of higher society type family. So evidently, why would we want to leave that area if we were rolling in it? So I can only assume that we left because people thought we were witches. Now, that doesn't mean I'm a hereditary witch. It means that my family probably left because they were afraid of being persecuted as, you know, being one, when they probably were just a bunch of nature-loving people. But anyway, I digress again. So a hereditary witch, their rituals, their knowledge that's passed down from generation to generation, I think that is absolutely beautiful. But that does not mean that that's the only kind of witch. I've come across some really nasty hereditary witches online that have, you know, ridiculed me because I am not, quote unquote, a real witch, because it doesn't flow in my veins. To that, I say, screw you. I think magic lives in every one of us. And being a witch to me is connecting with that magic, which for me comes from the earth and source. And that's to me what makes me a witch. It doesn't mean that I have to have blood in my veins from my ancestors that practiced any kind of witchcraft. On to secular witchcraft. So you can be a secular witch. Secular means that you don't attach spirituality to your witchy practice. You can use stones and crystals and herbs and all that shit. You just do not call on any deities or any higher source, energy source that's connected to anything spiritually. So you still cast spells and all that stuff just like everybody else. You just don't believe or use... I'm going to rephrase that. You just don't use any deity or spirituality in your practice. Now, this does not mean that you can't be spiritual and be a secular witch. You can be a Christian. I'm going to use this as an example because I have friends that do this. They're very much Christians. However, they practice witchcraft. When they practice witchcraft, it's very secular. They do not involve any kind of deity, including the one they actually believe in. They leave all that out of it and just practice it as witchcraft. I hope that makes sense. So you can be either a non-religious secular or a religious secular witch. Either way, I know this is getting kind of confusing, but what I'm getting at is that seculars do not use any kind of deity worship in their practice. And then solitary witches. I know a vast majority of us are probably solitary. Solitary meaning you can be any kind of witch that I've talked about and just practice it alone. We don't have a coven. We don't have a local group of other witches that we do any kind of Sabbat rituals with, or meetings, or lunar magic or anything like that with. We're all by ourselves. So that's solitary. The last one I want to touch on is the eclectic witch. The Eclectic Witch doesn't have, you know, one specific set of tradition that they use. They pull from all kinds of different places, all kinds of different sources. They pick and choose what resonates with them. So you can have a little bit of Dianic here, a little bit of Green Witch stuff here, some Sea Witch stuff. You can kind of pull from whatever you want, and now you're an Eclectic Witch, which technically that's what I am. But as I said before, I freaking hate labels, so I just call myself a witch. But if you want to get specific about it, I'm eclectic. The practices from that, goodness, it's coffee again. People that practice an eclectic path have a very specific tradition. So because it's very personal, you're going to pull from all kinds of different things that resonate with you personally. So even though I'm eclectic, and technically, if you want to get technical about it, my daughter is going to be a hereditary witch because I am a witch. She is my spawn. Technically, she's hereditary. I can pass down all my stuff to her, but I'm guessing, because she's a lot like me, if she chooses to follow this path, she too will be eclectic and will probably throw out half of the shit that I use as far as my information base and bring in her own, because she's very independent, and I just think that's how it'll work. So my eclectic path is not going to look like anyone else's, and yours is not going to look like mine. It's very, very personal. So basically, we kind of make up our own shit. We meld and bring in things that resonate with us, and we build it to our own specifications, which I think is kind of cool. So I know that was kind of like rushed, and I feel like it was a little bit of information about a lot of things, but I think it's a good start. I've been getting a lot of messages from people that are new to this path, and they're really not sure where to start. So I thought, you know, going through the kinds of witchcraft was important, but I also wanted to point out some other places, some other things that you can research to start your path. So besides finding out what resonates with you as far as with path, you can look up what sabbats are. So look up the sabbat for each season and learn it. So you don't have to learn all of them at once. So we've got Mabon coming up at the end of September. So learn that one. I'll be doing an episode on that, of course, but do some research. Look up what Mabon is. If it doesn't resonate with you, maybe sabbat worship or sabbat honoring isn't something that that you want to do. But anyway, look up the sabbats. Look up what esbats are, new moon, full moon. Look up what they are, what the correspondences are for each thing. So what kind of magic do you do during a new moon? What kind of magic do you do during a full moon? How do you honor them? Look up ways to do that so that you know what to try. And the only way to find out what you don't like and what you do like is to try stuff. Some other things that you can look up are the elements and what each one of those things mean, what represents them. That's a great place to start. Look up herbs and crystals that are involved with each season. So the easiest way for me when I was learning it is to learn it by season. So I would learn, so we're going to take this month and say I'm learning about Mabon. Then I'm going to look up what cycle, what's the moon going to look like on Mabon? Like, how is that going to affect me and what I do or what magic I do that day? I'm also going to look up crystals and herbs that represent Mabon so that I can use that in my workings. I can either diffuse an oil that corresponds with Mabon. I can put some herbs in my offering bowl or make an incense and burn it. I love to burn shit, so I'm always burning herbs. I'm going to look up all the things about Mabon, and then by looking that up and looking at all these little subcategories like herbs and crystals, color correspondences, deities that are attached to it, things like that, you're going to learn a ton about witchcraft. You're also going to learn a ton about yourself and what resonates with you and what does not. I think I did, I can't remember what episode it was, but I did do one on the basics of an altar and kind of what the different tools are, but definitely look up what an altar is and design one for yourself. Go off of some kind of template and then make it your own. Look that stuff up. And definitely look up different kind of spells so you can figure out what your boundaries are. So everybody, I think, has a very specific and personal set of boundaries when working, when doing spell work or ritual. What are you comfortable with? Are you comfortable with hexing and binding, and what are your feelings about that? Or are you, you know, what are your feelings about love magic? What are your feelings about healing spells? Look up all these things and kind of research them. See what resonates with you, because you're going to have to figure out where your boundaries are too, because I promise you, if you become an openly practicing witch, someone is going to slide something into your inbox that says, hey, so-and-so did me wrong and cheated on me. Can you please, you know, hex them or curse them or whatever? And you need to find out how comfortable you are with that. And only you have that answer. It does not, I want to like smash down something right now. Magic is magic. I do not believe in black magic or white magic or gray magic. Magic is magic. Just like if I pick up a stone, it's nothing. It's just a stone, right? If I throw it and smack somebody in the head, it's a stone that smacks somebody in the head. I made it do that. Does that make sense? So it's who does the magic and your intention behind it that makes it a spell that causes something negative or causes something positive. So the reason I believe that is because I believe we as witches, as individuals, need to take responsibility for your spell work. If you are going to do something, if you're going to bind somebody, binding mean causing them not to be able to do harm to someone, yourself, themselves. Thank you, train, for beeping in there. I'm sorry if anybody heard that. Anyway, so if you want to bind somebody, think about all the effects that it could cause. If you have went through and played out every scenario in your head and you don't think anything negative can happen to you or them or whatever, and you're comfortable with it, bind the shit out of them. I don't care. That's your deal. I really don't think that what our spell work, I don't think that our spell work is anyone else's business but your own. And you have to be comfortable with it. So you do you, boo. Okay, well, that's all I have for today. I know this was kind of a quick and dirty episode, but I am a little spread thin this week with anniversary and horses sick and stressing about all of that, which leads me to this. So here's my shameless plug for my tarot readings. I am going to have to come up with some serious dough for this vet bill for my horse. So I will be starting the 4th. So September 4th, I will be offering a 5-card spread and a 3-card spread. I'll advertise those on my Facebook pages. I will be doing that probably starting at about 10, 11 o'clock on Mountain Time on Wednesday the 4th. What I do is you tell me which spread you want, you email me your PayPal or whatever, and I invoice you, and then you tell me kind of what you're going for, and I will do a tarot spread. I take pictures of your cards, and then I record my audio of me reading your cards and kind of going through it with you so that you can keep it. You can play it as many times as you want to analyze it and think about it. But I do that for everybody, whether you get the $25 reading or the $15 reading. So that is my shameless plug. Seriously, like, blood work plus I have no idea how many more days he's going to have to stay there. At least till in the morning. It's not cheap. And as you guys know, all I'm doing right now for money is cleaning rooms. And although it is sustaining us, this vet bill is going to wig my hubby out. Like, I know that he's being so nice. If you knew my husband, he's like, so like structured as far as money goes. He's a Virgo and he loves order in our financial planning. I'm a Gemini and I'm just like, it'll come when it comes, honey. And that drives him crazy. So I know him knowing my horse is there is probably stressing him out so freaking bad. So I'm trying to try to come up with the money on my own instead of having to dip into our funds. So check out my Facebook pages, Witchy Woman Podcast. I'll be posting there. You can also join our group. Join Witchy Woman Friends. It's a closed group. This is an amazing group of people. You can ask witchy questions. I have an ongoing post with the hashtag booklist in that group, and you can look up all kinds of witchy books that everybody recommends. It's just a real cool group. So click on it to join, and I will add you. Nobody can see what you're posting, so if you're not out of the broom closet yet, it's okay. It's a safe place. Also, you can get me on Instagram at Witchy Woman Podcast. You can also, oh my gosh, my cat, no. Tinkerbell is trying to help me podcast today. You can also get, no. Do you hear that? It's a sack. She is obsessed. No. Here, come on. She's obsessed with grocery sacks. She gets in them and then lays inside of it. It's really freaking weird. If she gets in it, I'll take a picture and put it on our Facebook page. Anyway, give me on Twitter at Danae_sweet_. You can also join our very own coven. I'm calling it the WW Coven. This group is a closed group. It is for Patreon supporters. So if you are interested in joining coven, we just did a new moon ritual. It was very simple and short, but it was pretty awesome to be able to do that with a group of amazing people. Anyway, you can join that group by going to patreon.com/witchywomanpodcast. Join any of the tiers, and that gets you an email that gives you the password to our group. We are doing a Maybon ritual. We'll be doing Esbat rituals. We will be doing spell work 101 type things. All kinds of cool stuff in that group. So if you would like to join the coven, click on the link for the Patreon page. I will be having all of this posted in the show notes so that if you would like to visit any of this stuff, go for it. I want to give a shout out to a listener, Nikki B. She sent me a beautiful card that's freaking sparkly. I love sparkles and I love the color, but she sent me a thank you card and some. Okay, I'm going to have to put the socks on and then just show you guys, but they say ringmaster of the shit show, which I truly am the ringmaster of the shit show that is my life. So these are highly appropriate and fantastic socks. I have a weird sock fetish where I have all kinds of weird, you know, I have rainbow ones, I have polka dot ones, I have unicorn ones. I love socks. So this was an absolutely beautiful gift. And I would like to send out my absolute heartfelt thanks and gratitude for this gift. I will be wearing these socks to my next meeting at the school with my daughter. I think that would make me feel a little more confident when I walk into the school. So these will be worn proudly underneath my jeans and in my boots. I'm very excited. So thank you so much for these socks, Nikki. I appreciate the thought and the time you took to send them. Thank you. Okay. Oh, I don't think I have anything else. I am going to suck down another cup of coffee. I'm going to put some pumpkin spice stuff in it and start the rest of my day. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. And as always, stay witchy. Bye.